feel like I need a beer, but I'm right off of a cramping incident, so I'm probably going to pass on that. But yeah, that was a roller coaster. Obviously, the overtime was similar to Jacksonville, but you know, Jacksonville, we were always kind of right even with them. This one, we got down. I didn't play great in the first half, and then kind of threw the pick in the second half, and kind of rallied from there. So there were some big-time plays being made. A couple shout-outs, first of all, to Drew Sample, who played with a stomach virus and was feeling terrible, and we needed him really badly because these guys blitz a lot, and he's incredible in protection. Another one to Joe Mixon. You know, no running back wants to sit there and just be in protection all day long, but that was kind of the best chance to put up some points and all that. He did a great job. And then our O-line, starting with Ted Karras, just the communication. You know, there was very few protection calls I even needed to make. I can't even talk. I'm so tired. Because he directed the whole show, and it was a very exotic scheme. And so I just want to point out those three guys.
Your reaction to Lee Higgins' touchdown catch?
Yeah, I would have included him too, but I think everybody knows that one's kind of obvious. I was hot. They brought a Fonzie pressure, I believe, and just had to drift and give someone a chance with it. And always feel good just throwing the ball up to T. There was a couple times this game where you just kind of throw it up to him and good things seem to happen, or we were really close on a couple times. And I'll just continue to keep throwing the ball up to him when those opportunities present themselves, because he's very good at it.
But I was a blitz and needed to get
him. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched the tape or anything, but it was a pressure where they're bringing more than we can block, and it beats, you know, whatever our protection call was. So I was hot off of, I think it was Harrison Smith, and just drifted away and threw it up. Yeah, they blitz a lot. They drop a lot. A lot was made about the scheme. It's a really good scheme, but that was kind of part of it. Is they drop a lot of people. So I don't know if there were three or four rushing there, but I believe it was three. And so there's not a lot of timing plays that are open when they drop eight. And so Pitch, our quarterback coach, had said that. I'm gonna move that back. I'm going to need to move around and make some plays with my legs. Throughout the whole week, he had kind of been saying that, and so that's kind of where that came. Did a good job coming back at a friendly angle. I think T thought he was getting the ball as well, so they kind of, you know, crossed full speed. TB got the ball, and I think that's kind of what sprung him on the run, is half the DBs think T's about to catch it, and the other half, you know, think TB's doing it, and everybody just kind of ran into each other. And so I thought he was going to score, but then I was glad, you know, he's with ball security. I think if that was the second quarter and not the end of the game, or that situation, he probably would have scored.
How about the third and 20, whatever you call
it? Yeah, I mean, I think that came open because we ran a similar play earlier in the game where I missed Charlie Jones down the middle. And so when you throw one of those and they're playing a lot of, you know, too deep and having someone run the middle, you know, once you throw one of those early in the game, you got to respect it later. And so I think that was kind of a product of that.
What was it like? I mean, what was it like out there? I mean, you were obviously very cool, but it was very loud, and it was very, just things were just like going a mile a minute. You had T get balled, you had, you know, no flag. I mean,
your words, not mine.
I mean, what's going through your mind when all this is happening? Is it as loud as you would ever heard it?
Yeah, I mean, it was loud. Our fans definitely, you know, had their one more drink and came to the game. So you definitely felt it when the defense was on there. And then just the energy in the stadium was really good. I'm kind of in a position where I just detach from that. And I don't really – I feel like the louder it gets, the quieter it gets just in my own head, I guess. But, yeah, I think that played a big factor. There were some false starts, delay of games. It was tough for them to communicate, and it was a fun atmosphere to play in.
Why do you think the offense was able to kind of find a rhythm after kind of three quarters, not find a rhythm?
I mean, like I've said before, it's not as bad or as good on, as you think on tape. My first half was pretty bad, I thought. And so at halftime, it was basically like, all right, that was a bad first half. Like, just get it back together. Then I came out and threw a pick. And I just basically told myself, like, okay, that was a bad decision. Just keep rallying. And but I felt really good about our scheme. Like, that is a very – there was a lot made on – defensive scheme, which it's tough. Like, it is a hard scheme to deal with, and they do a great job with so many different people in so many different positions and presenting a lot of different looks. But I guess another shout out to, you know, Brian Callahan. First thing he told me when we came in the building, what would that be, on Tuesday, was, I think you're going to throw for 500 yards. I was like, okay, sounds good. But that kind of set the tone for the attacking, and don't let, you know, they're an attack blitzing defense. And don't let that get you into a shell. Like, keep attacking. And so I think we were able to keep that mindset and finally put together some points.
You talked about Mixon. What was his, I mean, okay, the pass pro, you get into that a little bit, but he also makes one of the plays of the game, stopping in the backfield on 4th and 1.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Joe Mixon's like a battering ram. So I just feel like the more touches he gets, the more, you know, he kind of is our tone setter on offense. It starts with the O-line, but when he's able to, you know, and they put 11 guys on the line of scrimmage and in the box, and we're still able to run the ball, because there's going to be one that's unblocked, and you just got to run him over. And he's really good at that. He's a battering ram. And then also to be able to hand off like an inside zone, and all of a sudden he's bouncing and running around everybody, you know, to have a running back that can do both is huge.
Did you see the fourth down stop in the overtime period? And what does that say about those guys, that they really didn't give up an inch on back-to-back?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's – I think one part of that was calling timeout right before the third down. The first time they tried to just get on the ball and snap it quickly, and we called a timeout, which, you know, lets us get set and lets us really come off the ball too. And, yeah, I mean, it's impressive. It's 3rd and 1, 4th and inches with the game on the line, and – I mean, that's, everybody's going to talk about the Tyler Boyd throw and catch, but I mean, if they get that, they're probably kicking a field goal and winning the game.
Well, we last month, you made it pretty clear you're trying to stay even keel. Earlier this week, you spoke about the Steelers' loss and said because you were involved in that game, it hurt more than typical losses have. On the flip side, as a comeback win in overtime, is that really the sweeter?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not a good feeling. It's much better than losing. I think the emotional roller coaster is part of the game, and part of that is just me staying, you know, even keel. But there was definitely a little extra part of, you know, just before the game, like, I remember getting cut there the last time and just being told, like, hey, you know, we might have a spot for you on practice squad, like, go to the hotel and wait. And so I sat in the hotel for like a couple hours not knowing if I had a job or not, and then just basically got a text or a call from my agent that, you know, they didn't tell me. Like, I'd been there for 2 years, and, you know, I've been cut my fair share of times, and that was probably the shittiest one. And there was a little bit more this week. I know I denied it, and there's some great people over there. It's completely different coaching staff and everything. And I want to emphasize, like, there are some incredible people over there, but that one felt good. I think right after we made the field goal to win the game, I screamed at a camera and said they never should have cut me. Yeah, I mean, you can't say that the whole week and then go lose. You just wait until you win and then don't look like an idiot.
Jake, as the starting quarterback of this team, you guys won 3 straight. What's your confidence level on beating this team in the playoffs?
High, but I think we're going to play an important game next week, play the Steelers. And I played terrible against them last time, so I'm pretty focused on that.
Yeah, T talked about it was time to be the alpha when Jamar went out. When Jamar goes out and you're obviously tasked with winning the game, what's going through your mind without Jamar Chase on the field?
Yeah, I mean, Jamar is one of our best players, has been for a couple of years, but sometimes that's just going to happen. I mean, it's a physical game. Stuff happens. He made an incredible catch, I think, on the play where he got hurt. He made the crazy 3rd and long catch over the middle that we referenced earlier. But, I mean, I think maybe T feels differently, but I feel like they're both alphas the entire time. Like there's, that's a 1A, 1B. And I got a ton of comfort. And maybe T doesn't feel that way, but I throw it to him like he's going to be the alpha all the time. And so, you know, it didn't really change my mindset. Obviously, you want to have Jamar out there, but, you know, Andre's done a lot of great stuff in practice, and I got a ton of confidence. And really, no matter who's out there, I'm going to throw to where the coverage tells me to throw, and it's on them to win. And so I think once you get outside of that mindset, that's when you start to make some bad decisions.
Given what you just said about the context for this game and what it means for you personally, how long do you kind of maybe savor this one as opposed to other wins before you move on to facing Pittsburgh next week?
I mean, it's nice to not be on a short week, so maybe a little bit longer, but I'll probably go to dinner with my family, probably get that posted on Twitter again, and then move on after that. Watch the film of it tomorrow and move on.
Your first game here, when you signed on the 6th club, you beat him all the time.
Yeah.
And now you're the guy doing
it. Yeah, I mean, it feels good to win, and I'm not sure where to take that one.
You know, you shook your head after the interception. You shook your head all the way back to the sideline. What were you thinking?
It was a dumb throw. And
why?
Because I threw it right to the corner, but also because I just felt like I usually do a good job of not pressing. I felt like I pressed there, like I was trying to make the play to get us back in and get us rolling when the guy underneath was open, so I should have just thrown it there.
How much sweeter does it make it for him as one of his teammates and the guy that threw him the ball to make that type of statement play in a really important game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of T. Higgins, whether, you know, whatever his situation is with contract stuff and all that. Like, I've been the guy. I've never been that guy. Like, I've never been in that situation. But I've been the guy that you got personal stuff going on where you're maybe on a P squad, or for him, like, you know, you want a contract, everybody does. I've never felt in the locker room that he's made it about that or anything like that. And so that speaks to his character. Really enjoyable guy to be around. And so I think anytime you have somebody like that who's obviously it's a fortunate situation where you're right on the cusp of that, but maybe you feel like this close, then it's not happening. You know, that can mess with people, and I haven't felt like that has messed with him at all. He's had some unfortunate injuries, but he's made some incredible plays, and I mean, I don't really care if he has some drops. Like, if he makes crazy plays like that, I'll just keep throwing the ball, and, you know, good things are going to happen.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it, Jake.
Thanks.